How did an embargo on bird poop inadvertently contribute to the Holocaust? How did mammals end up with an eye inside their brain? Can you snap somebody's neck like in the movies? Learn the truth behind these and much more in my new book, Facts That Aren't True. Link in the description.
I wouldn't necessarily say that moral relativism or objective morals is the dichotomy. I would say moral subjectivism, sure, which would entail some moral relativism, but moral relativism isn't really, it's not exactly a moral stance. It's just, to me, it's just an acknowledgement of a consequence of subjective morals. You know, I used to go around, I actually said this for a while, and I think I'll stop saying it. I haven't for a while, but I used to say, well, I thought in philosophy we had this problem where you can't derive an ought from an is, right? But that's what a moral command is. So morals can't be objective. Now, I think I've probably convinced myself that's not the case, although I do need to do some more thinking about it, because even if moral facts existed, you could still do the ought is thing, the problem of arbitrariness or whatever. Even if moral facts did exist, you can't derive that you ought to follow them. So that rhetoric doesn't work for saying that moral facts can't exist. And I basically used to say that that was kind of the case, as sort of a defeater. So I think that was probably stupid of me to do. But I don't think that, I don't really believe in moral facts, because I think no matter what, it's still going to circle back to subjectivity. If you're going to say that moral facts come from a moral lawgiver, then first of all, we could look at Euthyphro, but that would still make them subjective. Now, the only rescue is to claim that God, just by definition, is the source of morals. But then I could just say, okay, I will define literally whatever I want it to be the source of them, the objective standard. Because to say God is the objective standard is just a declaration to make it work. It doesn't, there's nothing special there. So go ahead.
Yeah, no, this is super interesting. And I probably should have prefaced this, like, I think I'm in alignment as it relates to like an atheistic or agnostic position. Like, I'm not a theist. But I've had this similar this similar problem with at least I accept, or recently come to accept, that morality really can't be logically justified on an objective basis. And but I also assert that, at least I don't know anything outside of the Abrahamic religions, but those guys are also equally relativistic, subjective, right? They're applying an axiomatic maneuver to define their God as inherently good, right? So I'm aligned on that piece, and I might have misunderstood you, but it sounds like that jives with your worldview as well, or am I getting something wrong on your view?
Are you asking, is my view that, because all I heard you say was, well, any religious group, if they're going to have their own morals, then it would be subjective across different groups. That's all I heard you say, and I would agree with that, but that's not really my view. I mean, that's my opinion on them, but I wouldn't call that what my moral views are. So I'm not 100% sure what you meant by that.
Or maybe, like, and correct me if I misunderstood, but you are saying that morality can't be based in objective foundation, right? Like, moral truths are not objective, or just can't, or they maybe they could exist out there, but we'll just never interact with them, right?
Yeah. So if moral facts, if you try to ground moral facts in an entity that prescribes them, it can't be objective. If moral facts exist in the universe, then it can be objective, but you can't derive the ought from the is, that I ought follow these moral rules because they exist. So I didn't really, that wasn't part of what I said earlier, but however, even given that, I think the concept that in reality there are moral facts is, I think that makes no sense. That's like saying to me numbers really exist. I'm not a Platonist. I don't think that logic really exists either or anything like that. So no, I just moral facts to me don't seem tenable.
Yeah. So I've run again, like I'm an atheist, but I run into this problem, with like friends that are, you know, they're Christian, Catholic, whatever, Muslim, and they really have a, like, this is like probably the biggest impediment to them, right? To really accepting my worldview, is that I'm trying to display to them, yes, I don't have, like, I can't justify moral facts, right, or objective moral facts, but I try to make this point that they also can't do so, right, because they're prescribing that, you know, by definition to their God.
Yeah, and again, the only thing they can do is claim that their God is the source, and you can just define human well-being as being the source, and God clearly violates that. And then you can ask them, would you like it if God made you suffer? And the hardcore brainwashed ones will accept it, but nobody else will. And then you'd have to say, okay, well, but it would be good according to you if God did that to you. And then the rest of them will just, they'll either glitch or retreat to faith and say, I trust that it would be for a good cause or reason or something like that.
Yeah. And now I think you would agree with this, but I do that maneuver, right? But I'm honest in the sense that it's kind of the same axiomatic maneuver, right? We're trying to pull ourselves up from our bootstraps that the theist does when they say, I'm defining God as inherently good. So anything they touch is, you know, that they command is good, right? I'm saying the same thing for like this principle of well-being, right? Or like reduce suffering and blah, blah, blah. Like, this atheistic standard for goodness. I'm trying to argue to them that these are both kind of arbitrary. Like, we can't really objectively defend them. But again, like, I'm pulling down the theist worldview down to my same level, right?
Now, yeah. The position that you and I would take is justifiable because it is grounded in something that is, that we know does occur, which is a human experience. Or you could biologically point to that all of the things that humans find completely intolerable are things that maximize our well-being as a species. And so there's a lot of... I wish I could articulate this a little bit better. I got to say something. This is weird. I have not eaten anything yet today. It's 12:30. The only thing I've had is a cup of coffee. I don't normally drink coffee. I feel like I'm having an out-of-body experience right now. I am having some very odd brain fog, and it's actually kind of messing me up a little bit. I almost feel like I'm lucid dreaming. But what you could do is you could point to human behavior reinforcing the survivorship benefits of the species, because they try to do these goofy hypotheticals of, well, what if somebody says, I want to kill everyone because that makes me happy? Now you're maximizing well-being. Just point out that we know the difference between psychopathy and not, and that is psychopathy, and that doesn't benefit the species. So it does violate part of the thing that is the grounding or the justification for why these types of behaviors are considered I don't know, better a little bit. Hopefully that made sense. I literally, like, I can't remember what I said 30 seconds ago. It's a very weird thing right now.
Yeah, no. This is like super interesting. And I have desperately tried to like try to take this line with them and obviously say like, look, we have to say, right, in today's like our moral secular society, right, psychopathy is bad, murdering people is bad, like these things if that's not bad, then what is, right? But if I'm being honest, right, and I get pushback on this point, is that I'm still arbitrarily saying that psychopathy, since it's contrary to well-being, is a bad thing, right? Like I just don't have I wish I had an objective basis or objective legs to stand on to say that. And I know it's like annoying.
So you can just do what they do and define something to be your objective standard, because that's all they do. I have something I can share with you, and then I'll have to go here. So I was supposed to debate secular versus Christian ethics with somebody on Modern Day Debates, and then they backed out. But I did a shitload of prep before it got canceled. And this is what I wrote regarding the claim that they do against us, which is the moral relativism thing, right? So it goes like this. Another charge that Christians bring against the secularist is moral relativism. Moral relativism doesn't mean you must simultaneously hold that all actions and behaviors are morally equal. It means you accept that other groups have different standards. So yes, I can condemn them. Where is the contradiction and the hypocrisy? Well, it comes from the group of people saying they get their morality from an unchanging fixed objective standard, who literally claim that they now live in a new covenant while also adhering to the Ten Commandments, which is the old covenant. So who's the moral relativist? Some Christians condemn things in the Bible, but many don't. There's no escaping the contradiction, regardless of which position you take. Do you condemn the murders, genocides, kidnapping, and forced penetration of little girls and slavery commanded by God in the Old Testament? Then you don't have an objective standard. Do you think it was okay back then because God said so, but not okay now? Then you don't have an objective standard, and you're a relativist. Here's what you'll never hear a filthy secularist say. What Stalin did was good for his time and place. Yet it is the Christian who says precisely these things. If God told Schmittler to do it, then it wouldn't be wrong. Yet it is the Christians who say invading a land you're not from, genociding them, and setting up an ethnostate wasn't wrong, talking about Moses in this case. Or, if you don't believe what we believe, then you deserve death. So who's the moral relativist? There you go.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I assume you have to run, get some food or caffeine in you.
Yeah, a little bit. I think the caffeine actually is what made me be in this
delirious,
quasi-delirious, but very awake state that I find myself in.
I like that. It's just that, like, if you come across, which is not common today, but if you come across a true staunch fundamentalist, they're just going to bite the bullet and say, like, no, you know, the slaughtering of the, you know, Amalekites was divine, like that was divine and just because it was commanded by Yahweh or whatever, right?
Yeah, they say God's the author of life, so he has the right to take it away. That does not logically follow in any way. But you
because
could,
of contradiction in within the is that
well, they can claim there's no contradiction because they just define it to be that way. But you would say that does not logically follow at all. And again, if you can do that. None of this is in evidence. It's just a deduction that can be valid on its own terms. So that proves absolutely nothing. Then you could just say, oh, okay, Mr. or Miss Christian, then parents are the author of a human life. Therefore, they have the right to take it away. Therefore, there's nothing wrong with abortion there. And then they say, no, it doesn't work like that. I'm like, no. I defined them to be that way. So it does work that way, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. No, thanks, man. I appreciate the insight here. It's been either tough conversations to have with individuals.
Yeah, kind of. But you're welcome.